Please take your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Mark, chapter 14. Father's Day. We're going to be giving some thoughts to fathers, but they are really directed to all that are here in this room. But if we could have our dads, all you that are dads, would you please stand up? All you that are dads, would you please stand at this time? Some have said the hardest job in all the world for a man is being a father. That it's far easier to work in a factory or work in an office or work in the fields. But to be a dad, to be a father, to be an example, sometimes is very, very hard. The one word that would best describe a good, godly dad is one that is consistent. Consistent in the Word of God. And may I encourage you men, and for all men here in the room, be consistent with your Lord. Make Him part of your life, day in and day out. Not just on Sunday mornings at 11 o'clock, but have Him to be part of your life. You think they deserve a hand, ladies, gentlemen? Yes, let's give them a hand. Yes. Thank you, guys. I wish I could tell you that we have a $1,000 gift for each and every one of you. Well, I could tell you that we have a gift that's worth $1,000. But I would be fibbing, and then you'd tell me I couldn't be pastor anymore. But we're glad that you're here on this Father's Day, and we wish you a happy Father's Day. Title of our sermon today is Watch. Watch. Couple of Father's Day thoughts. You probably read the one on the sign as you pulled into the church driveway today on the out here. It says, fathers are not optional equipment. I believe that fathers are a necessary part in the raising of children. I believe that the Lord's plan was for a father and a mother. And I believe that it's very important that fathers, you take an active part in your children's lives. A second thought was from John Thompson. I read this to you a number of years ago. And he wrote, one of the major problems in our inner cities, and now true also in the suburbs, is the challenge of fatherless families, absent even when he lives in the same house. We need to be willing to take an active part in the lives of our children. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, gentlemen, this should be, you that are fathers, a verse that is important to you. Ephesians 6, 4, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It should be the desire of all of us who are born again to bring up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Let us stand together, if you would. Mark chapter 14, beginning at verse 26. Again, the title of our message today is Watch. Watch. As I read to you Mark chapter 14, beginning at verse 26. And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. And Jesus said unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. But Peter said unto him, although all shall be offended, yet will not I. And Jesus saith unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he spake the more vehemently, if I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they all. Verse 50. And they all forsook him and fled. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your patience with us. We thank you for your unspeakable gift of salvation, for your love, your tenderness, your kindness, your mercy. Help us, Lord, as fathers, mothers, individuals, to serve you faithfully until you call us home. And we ask this in Jesus' name and again with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. No one really knows how they will react when they are put to the test. The disciples had been walking with Jesus for over 3.5 years. And Jesus knows that that night he is going to be betrayed and arrested, and he would go through a number of illegal trials, and he knew that the crucifixion was just ahead. And he tells them to be careful. So how will we react when put to the test? Will we stand for what is right? Will we remain silent? Will we give in to public opinion and go with the flow? Peter, who is the most vocal of the 12 disciples, truly meant to stand with Jesus. He meant to. He had told them he was willing even to die. And I don't for one moment believe that he didn't think so. That this brave fisherman who knew what it was like to be in hard times really believed that he would stand for Christ. Yet he fled with all the others. As you're reading these words that they all fled, do you ponder in your heart which one fled first? Which one slipped away? Which one said, this doesn't look good. Jesus, I love you, but I'm out of here. I wonder which one it was. May I say this? We must prepare ourselves to make a stand. And to do that, we have to be willing to watch. Just back one chapter, chapter 13, there in the book of Mark, we'll begin reading at verse 34. And it says in verse 34, "For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his what? His work." Our Lord has gone away, but he's coming home again. And he has left for all of us work. And he commanded the porter to watch. "Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all." Not to you only, you disciples, but for all of you that will follow. He says, watch. Watch. So to gentlemen, to ladies, and to the teens that are here today, watch. Watch. We are to watch our walk. How we walk, Ephesians 5:15 says, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, that you walk properly." Each and every one of us is to walk properly. We are to walk in a right and honest way. We are to walk, if I can may continue, and we need to watch our actions. The Bible says, "Abstain from all appearances of evil." We're not to even look like we are doing that which is wrong. So watch our actions. We are to watch our time. redeeming the time because the days are evil, Ephesians 5:16. You have so much time in life. How much time do you have left? That's a scary thought. Now that I am closing in on 64, I wonder just how much time I have left. Do you ever ponder that? I do. In other words, there's only so much time to still get done what needs to get done. In our Christian walk, we need to watch our time. We need to watch our conversation. It's another word for lifestyle. Only let your conversation or your lifestyle be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Our lifestyle should honor the Lord. Do you agree with that statement? For the four of you, thank you. I'm going to ask you again. Not that I'm giving you a second chance. I just think maybe I caught you off guard. Do you think we ought to watch our lifestyle? Yes. We need to watch how we live. We are to make sure that our conversation is that which is proper. I want you to ponder something. And I'm not going to ask you to do it, but you can. But today when we have the invitation, you that use your cell phones for social media, you have your tablets, etc., would you be willing to put them on the altar today? And not leave them there. But are you willing to put them on the altar and say, Lord, let me use this only in which it is a proper way, that no one would question who I am and what I am? You understand what I'm trying to say? Communication's a wonderful thing, and I want to get out there what I'm trying to say. So what am I saying? Tell me, what am I saying? Dedicate your cell phone to the Lord. It's His cell phone. That means if you're texting, you never use vulgarity. If you're sending out a Facebook page, you never put anything on there that's questionable. Oh, gossip? Do I have to talk about gossip? Oh, yeah. Do you think that's a right thing? No, I'm not talking about do you think that. Boy, see, communication's a wonderful thing. Do you think it's a right thing to dedicate your phone to the Lord? I think it is. I am bothered to the point that I rarely look at Facebook anymore because I'm bothered what's on there. You say, but don't give me the excuse everybody else is doing it. Was Christ everybody else? No, He was different. I hope we're different. We need to watch our habits. Romans 12:2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And be not conformed to this world. Be careful that your actions are not mistaken as that of the world's. So with that thought, watch our habits. Let me give you a number of thoughts. Our habits. Are habits important? You think that's a trick question, don't you? Are habits important? Are there bad habits? Are there good habits? Yes. Should we do good habits? I believe so. We need to have good habits. Number one, you need to watch your thought life. Do you know that I believe that 90% of our sins are with our thought life? What we're thinking. Boy, if I had a tank, you wouldn't do that again. Yes? Have you ever thought that? Am I the only one that's ever thought that? Please. Have you thought that? Raise your hand, please. Look at all those sinners out there. Six of you, the rest of you have never thought that? Not a tank, huh? Okay, you just wish that you had an old car that you didn't care about. Ah, there you go. Watch your thought life. You know, when I get in trouble with my wife, almost always it's because of my thought life. I think you should have done something different. Well, she should have. No. What happens is I think wrong, right? You know, we get our thinking all messed up. I told the Sunday school class this morning that our Lord is really not interested in our happiness. He's interested in our holiness. And if we become holy, then there's a good chance that we'll be happy. But the problem is we expect other people to make us happy. We expect our mate to make us happy. We expect our children to make us happy. We expect our parents to make us happy. We expect the church to make us happy. We need our thought life proper. So watch your thought life. Watch your motives. Why do you do what you do? Now, I believe that we ought to do good works. We are to do good works not to be saved, but we do good works. Why? Because we are saved. But we should not do good works so we get patted on the back. We should not do good works so that other people will say, "Wow, I saw what you did. That was marvelous." Now, they may say that to you. They may say, "I'm impressed," or I appreciate what you have done. They may say that, but you had better say something along the line that it's for the Lord that this is done and not for me. Don't you get tired of the sports people who think it's all about them? Yeah. I get tired about that. So, you need to watch your motives. We need to watch our emotions. Will your emotions get you in trouble? Your emotions will get you into trouble. That's why when we have our faith promise, I don't try to make it an emotional thing and play upon your emotions, because I don't want you to sign a commitment paper for missions because your emotions are in such a state that you say, "Oh, I got to do this." No, I want you to sign a commitment paper because you believe it's the right thing to do. See, sin is an insidious thing that will sneak into our lives, and it uses our emotions quite often to sneak in. It blunts our senses. It warps our judgment. It clouds our understanding. If we think long enough about wanting to do a certain sin, do you think we'll end up doing that certain sin? There's a good chance that if you ponder it and figure out how you can do it and how you can justify it, you will do that which is wrong, and you will emotionally say, "Well, it's all right." We need to keep our emotions in check. We need to watch our desires. So, you know, you watch your thought life, you watch your motives, you watch your emotions, you need to watch your desires. Keep your desires in check. Financial integrity is important. I believe men and women ought to pay their bills. Let me say that again. I believe men and women ought to pay their bills. I believe that moral integrity is important. God hates immorality. It is a sin that bothers him because he has a plan for the intimate act between a husband and his wife. It's shoplifting to have a sexual relationship outside of the marriage of a husband and his wife, or the wife and her husband. God has a plan, and we need to be morally right and have integrity. We need to have spiritual integrity. I've said this before, I'll say it again. Religion will send you to hell. Religion will not get you into heaven. You say, but. No, religion is man's attempt to get up to God. But the Lord showed you this is what you need to do. And we're to come to Him by faith. Your faith is what's important. Being a Baptist will not get you into heaven. Now, I do believe going to a Baptist church is going to help. Because we preach and teach the Word of God. But being baptized, like we had baptism last week, that's not going to get those who were baptized into heaven. That's just doing what the Lord wants. We find that we need to have the right desires. How many people today are dealing with the consequences of improper desires yesterday? You did the wrong thing a week ago, or 10 weeks ago, or 10 years ago, and you're still paying for doing the wrong thing because of your improper desires. Watch your speech. How many of you want me to skip this one? Watch your speech. Have you ever said something and as the words were tumbling out, you wished you could reach out and grab them and pull them back? Yes. You know how often we say something that later we think, oh, that was really stupid. You say, Pastor Paul, please don't make us raise our hands. So let me just simply say, I have said some things that have been simply stupid. I really hope you never have. I really hope that you have a control over your speech. How many have hurt somebody to the point where they want nothing to do with your Lord? They want nothing to do with your church because of something you said. We need to make sure that our speech is proper. Watch your conduct. Paul, writing to the Thessalonians, told them to abstain not just from evil, but also from the appearance of evil. Making sure that you do right. The other day, I was driving east on Canal Road. How many of you have a stoplight in your area that you literally hate? You literally hate it. The one I hate is at Canal and Shaner. No matter which way I'm going, it's always red. I don't know how it can always be red. I don't know how it can always be green right down there, and by the time I get right down there, it's red. I don't understand it. And so I was sitting there the other day at Canal and Chainer. I was stopped. And a man's car turned around the corner, and in the dashboard, it had the word clergy. Clergy. Now, I know that some clergy people do that. They'll go to a hospital and the word clergy is there and they may park in the clergy spot. The other day I had a funeral and they had a spot for the clergy. It wasn't in the shadow, so I didn't park there. And so, you know, if you're going to have the word clergy in your dashboard, do you think you should be living a really good life? He was smoking a cigarette. We need to watch our conduct. Because people are watching you. They're listening to you. And our conduct should be such that is not only pleasing to the Lord, but is a testimony for the Lord. Be careful. Because when it's all said and done, what is done for Christ is what will last. may I encourage you? Now, I don't want any of you to ever think that Paul Madonna thinks he's perfect, because if you think I'm perfect, just talk to this young woman down here. Please don't talk to her. But she will tell you, I'm not perfect. I'm not perfect. Last but not least, watch the world. You say, what do you mean, watch the world? I'm glad you asked. Do not let it gain undue influence over you. If you're a Bible-believing, born-again Christian, do you have an enemy? Do you? Do you realize that you have an enemy? And do you realize this enemy hates you? And do you realize this enemy has one purpose, is to bring you down? And he'll use anything he can to bring you down. And sometimes he will open doors so that it will pull you away from the Lord. And may I say this, sometimes living in America with all that it has is more of a curse than a blessing. Because we have the opinion that I don't need God. I mean, I've got my 5 Visa cards and my Discover and my MasterCard, and I've got all the money I need, and I have a checkbook with money in the checkbook account, and I'm able to get what I want. Is that really a blessing if it's keeping you away from the Lord? No. Now, God has blessed us beyond measure. Would you agree with that? He has blessed us beyond measure. We must be careful that things don't become more important to us than the cause of Christ. Because I have found this, and as I was looking in the coffin last Monday for a funeral and last Friday for a funeral, you know what I saw in the coffin? Was a body. And everything they owned and everything possessed was still here. Was still here. So what can we take to heaven? Only those things we've done for Christ. Be careful. Yes, we are blessed. My son yesterday, we were over at his house and he was talking, and he was talking about the fact that when Donna and I are gone, he said, you know, you really don't have anything we want. That made me feel real good. And I thought to myself, well, I'm going to leave half of it to you. But when it's all said and done, only what's done for Christ will last. Do not let it gain undue influence over you. Many have invited the world in as if it were a friend. The world is our enemy. Be on care, be on guard, be careful. Christian watchfulness is a God-given duty. We must watch. Jesus told his disciples, and he told all of us, watch. The watchman of Ezekiel 33 was commanded to sound the alarm at the approach of danger. Watch. I got a newsletter in the mail from one of the clearing houses where our church sends money to missionaries. And our church sends money to about 8 or 9 different clearing houses, and then we send some to churches also in support of missionaries. And I got one that had the news of a young woman named Charity. Any of you know of a woman named Charity? Anybody? Only a couple of us. Charity was saved at the age of 4 years. That's very young. But at the age of 4 years, she went into her mother's bedroom and began talking about her need of salvation, and she accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior at the age of 4. A few years later, her parents went to Paraguay as missionaries. So she grew up on the mission field. Upon graduating high school, she realized that she herself wanted to be a missionary. And so she went to Piedmont Bible College in North Carolina. I do not know if that college is still there or not. I know a number have closed. But while at Piedmont, she met her husband. They fell in love, got married, became missionaries to the country of Madagascar. Anybody ever been to Madagascar? You've been to Madagascar? All right. You've been near it. Okay. At one time, the ruling class of Madagascar hated Christians so much, they threw them off the cliffs. They wanted nothing to do with Christianity. They were missionaries there in Madagascar. Had four children. She was 37 years of age. She was pregnant. Fifth child. The story goes that because of her pregnancy, they ran some tests on her and found out that she had life-threatening cancer. 37 years of age. With child. The doctor said, you need to terminate the pregnancy so that we can help you with your cancer. In March of this year, that child was born. In April of this year, she died. And you ponder yourself and you think to yourself, Lord, why? Here was a young woman who had given her whole life to serving you. Here was a young woman that could still be used. And at 37, you've taken her home. Folks, we have no guarantee of tomorrow. We have no guarantee how long we're going to be here. But wouldn't you want them to be able to write something like that about you? That you served the Lord faithfully until he called you home. Watch. Be on guard. Be careful. Shall we stand together? Now, I know I've bounced all over this morning, talking about putting cell phones on altars and giving them to the Lord and talking about watching. But the most important thing you can do in your life is make sure you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. And if you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, we'd be glad to have someone show you from the Word of God what needs to be done. And if you have accepted the Lord as your Savior, I do hope that you are serving Him faithfully. Because we have no guarantee of tomorrow. We need to make sure that we are doing what is right today. In a moment, we'll be singing number 375, Just As I Am. And the altar is here. You can come and pray by yourself, or we'd be glad to have someone pray with you, or maybe you'll need to sit on the front pew. That's fine. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask, Lord, blessings on this invitation time. Lord, we ask that the Holy Spirit would move and touch hearts. Give us strength, Lord, to serve you faithfully. Lord, we thank you for the testimony of this one named Charity. Be with her family. And Lord, we ask that you'd be with this church. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.